just nurturing the support of boxing in Halifax, and we're trying to grow it. So we had a nice turnout tonight, people who would never come to the fights. So if we open that gym, we open people's eyes to boxing and what it can do, how it can change lives.
For your first event, you had Butterbean, the legend.
Yeah.
He came along.
Yeah.
You know, you had some wonderful talent from
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 30 of the Good People, Bad Intentions podcast. Hope you're all doing well. I know that it's been a while since the last episode, and I really want to apologize for that. A lot has been going on lately, and I will have a little bit more explanation towards the end of this episode, but I really want to focus on what this episode is all about. Saturday, July 16th, at the Halifax Forum, it was the first event by Real Deal Promotions. That is the promotion company by Kyle, the Real Deal McNeil, the second guest that we've had on this podcast. And if you remember listening to that episode, he kind of talked about how ever since he got into boxing, one of his dreams was to get into promotion and more so fighting and being the headline for his own card. And so this event, in all actuality, was him realizing that goal or that dream. And so I'm really proud of you, Kyle. You did an excellent job promoting as well as fighting. You won your fight. I have a special treat today. I actually have, for the first time, 3 in-person interviews. Now, one thing I want to do, though, is preface by saying the interview quality is not the best and not the level that I would like. But what I had done was just took my iPhone and a tripod and try to just get some interviews that I thought would be interesting. And so the first interview that we're going to look at, interview Fernando Avila Jimenez. And he had a 4-round fight at 175 pounds against Daniel DK Beast Beaupre. Now, Fernando, he didn't get the decision, but in my opinion, the fight itself possibly could have been a draw, or at most, he should have got the decision. It went to the hometown favorite, Daniel. It was an entertaining fight. And what I thought was really interesting was, and you'll see in the interview, he started off at super lightweight and has gone all the way to light heavyweight. So that's quite the gap in weight. And it had been quite a while since he last fought. So I tried to kind of get I tried to ask him a few things about that. And so without further ado, guys, let's get to the first interview with Fernando. And you went from light, super lightweight all the way to light heavyweight?
Y tú fuiste de super ligero hasta casi a...
Sí, estar en reposo sin hacer nada, tiempo, comiendo, fue lo que me llevó a un aumento de muchísimos kilos.
Yeah, what happened is you keep training and everything, so you just start gaining weight and gaining weight, and that's what happened.
So when there was a couple of cards in the third round, Daniel had you against the ropes, he was putting his weight against you. Were you able to feel, were you feeling his weight on you in those rounds?
En unos rounds se nos veía que estaba poniendo en las cuerdas y que estaba poniéndose el peso de él encima de ti. Tú eras el inglés que te eras capaz de sentir el peso de él como tú, porque estaba en la...
Se repuso más de 10 kilos, yo presiento. Él estaba muy por arriba del peso que tratamos.
He did that probably to gain a lot of weight after the
yes.
Probably he did got to get away a little bit.
Well, awesome. You had hit him with a lot of good shots in this fight, and it looked like it was a very back and forth thing. I just want to thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to interview you.
Dice que le diste muy buenos golpes a él, fue una pelea muy emocionante, y que él realmente estaba que fue verdad, como esperaba que fuera un día de verdad, pero bueno, que muchas gracias por la entrevista.
And please come back again to Canada.
Que por favor regreses otra vez a pelear.
Si me dan trabajo, con gusto.
You guys give me another shot, for sure I'll come back.
Appreciate it, brother.
And guys, I hope you enjoyed that first interview. It was for the first interview doing it in person. I was saying to myself, is this the first one I want to do? Because I think it is one of the hardest interviews to interview somebody who has lost, because obviously he had plans in his head that he was going to go out, come out the victor in this match, especially in the fact that it did look like he at least had a draw, or he had at least won, done what he needed to do to get the victory. But I did have a really good time interviewing him. I want to say a huge shout out to his coach, who had basically translated my questions as well as his responses from English to Spanish and Spanish to English. I thought that was really cool. And I was really happy that my first interview was with somebody that didn't speak English natively. So it was a really interesting experience. So guys, I want to tell you, I'm going to do like a general overview of the event, but I want to first hop into all the different interviews I have so I can give you that. And then I'll just give you kind of, again, my outside perspective as well as kind of some things that have been going on. So my second interview was with Laura, the L-Bomb McPhee. This was a 6-round contest at 140 pounds, and she went up against Bonnie, the Warrior Queen Hunter. What was quite interesting about this particular fight is that they had fought previously, in which Bonnie had got the decision. And more so, when Laura had got the decision, she had announced that this was going to be her last fight. Now, anybody that knows Laura McPhee, she is one of the co-owners of the Queensberry Rules Boxing Club. What I really love about this club is during the pandemic, on their Instagram, they had done some Instagram lives of some workouts, and they were for free. And it was something that I took well advantage of, because I was a little bit like a lot of people in boxing at the time, taken aback by the fact that everything was closed down and you really didn't have any time to, you weren't able to go to the gym. And, you know, it was a big shock for a lot of people. So in this interview, I actually bring that up, and we have a really good discussion off camera. Looks like in the future we will possibly either have her come back on or try to do some stuff with her and her husband, Greg. Really, really wonderful people to talk to. So without further ado, here's Laura.
Congratulations,
Laura. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
So this is the last we're going to see you in the ring.
I think so.
Last fight.
Yeah.
So you had a really beautiful match, I thought. Mm-hmm. Now, you had already fought Bonnie before.
We did, in December.
And can you kind of describe a little bit of the differences between this fight and the previous fight? Because this fight was 6 rounds.
6 rounds.
The last one was 4?
That's right.
So can you kind of describe maybe some of the differences tonight?
Well, November 1st, I got a call last year to fight in December. So it was a real fast training camp, and all we did was focus on sparring and diet, because I had a lot of weight to lose after not fighting competitively for like 6 years or something.
Yep.
And I went in with much more of like a sort of a counterfighter mentality. I showed up a lot, and she threw a lot more punches. So I felt like I landed more, but she threw a lot more. And sometimes you really have to be aware of what the judges are looking for. And they're looking for aggression. So I understood why the judges gave it to her. And going into this next fight, I had a lot more time to prepare. We did a lot more fitness. We really diversified our sparring as well. So we just looked for other sparring partners. And also, we just shifted the way that I fight. I've been much more of a counter fighter. I'm a short, stocky fighter, and I've always looked to work off the aggression of others. And this fight, we knew that I really had to flip that script and take it to them, be first, and move my head a lot, and just not stand in front. And that's what I aimed to do tonight. It's just punch and move, and there were some times in this six-round fight tonight where I did get caught sort of going head-to-head. She was coming in with a lot of body shots and open top of hooks and overhands. And I was thinking, I just gotta get out of here. So move, get in and get out. Punch and don't get punched, right? That's a sweet sign, so that's what we did.
And you were really effective when you had these chances, opportunities to throw some flurries. And then some times where your fast hands were really showing. You also had a really good jab. You're a southpaw, correct?
I switched up a couple times. Yeah, there was a couple times where I felt myself, I think, a little too light on my feet, and I tried to drop my weight, and I just stepped out with my lead foot, and then I was like, well, I guess we're going southpaw for a couple. And it's not something I typically do, but, you know, I think if anyone can go southpaw even for a couple of seconds in there, it can really throw your opponent off. So, you know, we just went with it. Like, a punch is a punch sometimes. It's not always going to look pretty, but we got the job done today.
And you mentioned training partners. Now, I saw one of your social media posts. You were working with somebody in Montreal. Can you talk a little bit about your experience going to Montreal? I mean, did you learn some skills that you brought to this last fight in your career?
Well, a couple weeks ago, we decided it would be nice to get out of Halifax for a few days and just decompress from everything going on here. We have a pretty busy lifestyle. And we sent a message to Heather Hardy in New York City because that's where we were going.
Yes.
I used to live in Brooklyn, and I trained at Gleason's for a bit. And that's where her home base is. And so my husband and my coach, Greg Carr, he sent a message to her and said, hey, my wife's got a fight in a couple weeks. Can we come spar? And she said, yeah, set it up. And it was as easy as that. It was a pretty cool experience. We went to Gleason's. We did six rounds. It went very well. We went back a couple of days later, did another four. And just getting in the ring with someone of that high caliber, having those nerves going into that sparring session was just a really, really nice experience about, you know, a week before the fight. I think those experiences can't be discounted. Like, you need to feel those nerves. I mean, one of my regular training partners over the last, like, 20 years has been Tyson Hay.
Okay.
He's great, but, you know, like, but he's also a friend, and I know him so well, so there's not the same kind of fear and nerves. Like, as good as he is, and he's amazing, but it's not the same when you get in the ring with someone who you've never met. So having that experience a week before the fight was great, and Heather Hardy was just a champ. She's awesome.
And I just wanted to speak, because I know you recently opened up a second gym in the Queensbury Rules, which is the gym that you co-own.
I do, yeah.
What was it like having opening up a new gym, you also are a mom, and then you're also doing a professional fight? How are you able to manage? Like,
I didn't manage it all very well. Thankfully, I have a great business partner named Julie, who I met through boxing, and she really handles a lot of the business administration, a lot of finances, and so really my job is like the coach at the gym, and we have a lot of coaches now. We've really built a nice community over the last 4 years, so because I had this one more fight coming up, everyone at the gym stepped up and said, what can I do to help? Can I get in the rounds with you? Can I take one of your classes and just like coach that for you so you can go do what you have to do? What I was missing from my life for years was a boxing gym. There's nothing like the community that comes with boxing, and that's why we opened the gym, because we wanted to train like fighters again, and we wanted to develop that community again, and that's what we did. And opening the second location has been hectic. It's been hard. We need to operate two locations, but the reward has been amazing, and the business is doing well, and we're just nurturing the sport of boxing in Halifax, and we're trying to grow it. So we had a nice turnout tonight, people who would never come to the fights, except we opened that gym, we open people's eyes to boxing and what it can do, how it can change lives, improve mental health, improve fitness, bring people together, and then here at the fight tonight. So it's hard to manage being a business owner, a mother, a wife. I also have another job as a longshoreman.
Oh, wow.
But you know, when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, you know it's only like a 3 or 4 month camp. You're like, I'm just going to put everything aside, focus on this fight. But that's another reason why it's time to retire. I'm 43, and I think I've been hitting the head enough. Mm-hmm. And there's other things I want to do with my life, and I'd like to be a bigger contributor to my business, yes, family, and all those things. So it's nice to go out on this high note.
Well, hey, congratulations on retirement.
Thank
I look
you.
Forward to seeing what comes next with Kingsbury Rules.
Thank you.
I didn't say this too. When the pandemic first hit and I was looking for some exercises, some workouts, those Instagram lives that we did, I did quite a few of them.
No way.
And that was really awesome how you provided that to everybody. It was a huge relief that I could at least do some boxing at home. And it was a lot of fun because I felt like doing that. I feel like I know you, but you probably don't know me, but you know, doing those workouts, you kind of build a connection, right?
It's funny how like we met some people just through those workouts.
Yes.
People who discovered us through our Instagram daily workouts at 6 p.m. because there was nothing, we didn't know what to do. We thought, well, if we can just meet together on this platform and work out, and maybe it'll be 2 people, maybe it'll be 20, but we can somehow stay together as a community. And, you know, we always enjoyed, like, getting heckles from some of our members and taking requests for, like, style workouts, and all the coaches were happy to come and do it. You know, we were doing it for free, no one's getting paid, but just boxing and having one thing in your life that brings you, you know, amazing, was really, I think, therapeutic for a lot of people. And we met people through that experience. And so, yeah, like yourself, there's been a couple of people that came to the gym afterwards. They said, I was too nervous to try the sport, but I got out to those Instagram workouts, and then I came and became a member. So, I mean, it's so great. So,
yeah, they weren't easy. They weren't easy.
No, they were hard.
Yeah,
you saw me sweating, like, doing burpees. I'm like, why did I decide to do burpees in this workout? Yeah, it was tough.
And I just wanted to say that I really appreciated that. So, I'll see you around.
Yeah, come stop by the gym.
Yes, thank you so much.
And I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Laura. You know, I thought one thing, I don't think she'll mind if I bring it up, but what we had mentioned off camera was the tendency for people to oftentimes want to make boxing an exclusive sport and kind of keep away more of the casual people, or like, you know, the people that get the 9-to-5 jobs that are just trying to use boxing for a workout. And what I try to have a conversation with her about is how boxing has a lot of benefits, and really, like knowing about a medication that can help a lot of people. I feel like what we should do as fans of boxing is encourage people, regardless of what skill level or what interest they have, to get into boxing. So we had a really cool discussion about that. And the third interview I had was with Kyle, the Real Deal McNeil. He fought the main event, and this was, of course, also his promotion that was promoting the card. And he went against Alberto Alejandro Morales Bautista. And this was an 8-round bout at 144 pounds, junior welterweight. And he had acquired the National Boxing Authority title. What was interesting was when I looked at the box rec for this bout, two of the three judges had gave him each one of those rounds, so eight rounds, and one of the judges gave Alberto one round. I don't know which round it was at the top of my head. It was really nice to talk to Kyle because, again, he was the second interview that we had. This was something that he had talked about. And I think it strikes a lot about his character that he was somebody who was able to visualize this even during the times, you know, when we first had our interview where things were still looking a little bit dark and gloomy during the pandemic. You know, I was really proud of him, you know, for putting on this event. And of course, what I'll get back to you after I met a special guest. So without further ado, guys, here's Kyle, our last interview, followed by some reflection about the event.
All right, I'm here with Kyle McNeil, the Real Deal. Congratulations, you had a wonderful fight. Now, you just got a title, right?
You got the National Boxing Authority belt, and I fully intend on adding more to it.
Yeah, and you actually had this fight at junior welterweight at 144 pounds. Usually you're used to fighting that lightweight, correct?
So, well, I started my career at 126 pounds years ago.
Yep.
Pro 18 turned 19. I was in university. I was a St. Louis University student of commerce. Started my own business, Real Deal Fitness.
Yep.
Rolled right into my pro career, and I've just been hustling and grinding ever since, building that business, working with youth, men and women of all ages, and just really building youth sports teams, building the communities around me. And now I'm here as a promoter, doing what I love, fighting hard, and trying to build the boxing scene here in Halifax.
Now, we already had done an interview or a podcast before. You were my second guest.
Thank you
for coming on.
Yeah.
And one thing that you said in that podcast is this is one of your dreams.
Yeah.
You wanted to have your own card.
Correct.
You wanted to headline it.
That's right.
You accomplished all that.
Yeah.
You had, you know, for your first event, you had Butterbean, the legend.
Yeah.
He came along.
Yeah.
You know, you had some wonderful talent from Nova Scotia, the Maritimes, New Brunswick,
Ontario. Yeah. That was some awesome hard hitters from Mexico.
Yeah.
I see Ray Morales.
Is this going to be the start of a series of events for the Real Deal Promotions?
Absolutely, absolutely. We might not be limited to just boxing, but the focus right now is boxing.
Real Deal Promotions.
I end up putting a few a year. And at the end of the day, you know, I love what I do, and it shows in my work.
Yeah, and I also wanted to say, with regards to the fight, what was your? Is this the first time you have gone 8 rounds in a professional bout?
Yes. I did all three sixes. I started with fours, went sixes, and I got breaks as well. I went down to the weight classes to fight Tyson Kay.
Yes.
And then back up to where I belong in the 140s. And I fully intend on going from some titles that I've heard from time. So,
yeah.
Onward up from here, man.
So, most people that know you, don't know this, but you're all about you know, your lifestyle. You have a very physically active lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Live off grid.
Yep.
So you, a lot of your food, you cultivated and grown yourself.
That's right.
You know, how much do you attribute that to your victory today? Were you finding it easy in those later rounds to stay fit? Because you're always fit year round?
Absolutely. I run a gym, like I said, Real Deal Fitness full time. I work with all ages. And then I live at a farm with my lovely fiance, Colleen Pace. It's called 100 Wild Acres Farm. We have 100 acres off grid, all solar, everything. We grow our own food. We eat very well. We live good. We have chickens and we have our own farm animals and we love being a part of nature and really just kind of getting to our roots. And it's made a big difference in my overall quality of life. I believe in the quality of life, and that's what I live and breathe outside of the ring.
Congratulations, man, on your bout.
Thanks so much.
I look forward to seeing you in the ring again and also with the promotion.
That's right.
And enjoy your victory, buddy.
Ah, thank you, man.
Thank you.
And guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Kyle. Now we have covered the three interviews that I had at this event. And I wanted to share something as well. I was able to meet the legend himself, the king of the four rounders, Butterbean.
Champion of the world and the IBA super heavyweight champion of the world. And he had a combined record with mixed martial arts, kickboxing and boxing. 97 wins, 24 losses, 5 draws, 65 by way of knockout, with 9 submissions, and a member of the Boxing Hall of Fame. He was originally from Atlanta, Georgia, now living in Jasper. Give it up for Eric Butterbean!
That was an interesting time. So I went up to Butterbean. I saw he was there. I got an autograph from him. And I also wanted to kind of tell him that I was honored to meet him, because I believe he was somebody who really transcended the sport. You know, not only was he in boxing, he was in kickboxing, he was in mixed martial arts, he was in professional wrestling. And he really, you know, he's a bigger guy, kind of like myself, and he was knocking people out, you know, some serious contenders. So I had this kind of a conversation where I was basically telling him how, you know, he has inspired me, being a bigger person, to not look down at myself and still see myself as being able to accomplish great things. And what was funny was how he had mentioned Andy Ruiz at the time, I think he was maybe around 7 years old or so, had told him the same thing. And in fact, I can see a photo of him and Andy, young Andy at the time. You know, of course, Andy Ruiz had that shocking victory against Anthony Joshua and obtained, I believe, three of the title heavyweight titles at the time. And he was the first Mexican heavyweight boxing champion. So yeah, and Andy Ruiz, of course, was somebody that I looked up to quite a while ago, because, again, if you're a bigger guy and you're in boxing, there's not that many great examples, but I think Andy Ruiz and Butterbean are great examples of, you know, people that were able to accomplish things within their career. So that was really awesome meeting Butterbean. It was interesting though, because I had seen some things circulating online about him getting into the best shape of his life, and maybe kind of like how Mike Tyson had came back after a legendary career. It seemed like, and still seems like, Butterbean wants to flirt with the idea of returning to the ring. But I believe he had received some form of hip surgery, in which case he had some crutches when he was at this event. So it was interesting to see him in maybe a little bit more of a vulnerable stage, to see, you know, a fighter later on in their career in a more vulnerable stage. But it was really wonderful getting to meet him. And yeah, so now I just want to kind of reflect on what it was like going around this event and trying to get these interviews, because this is something that I have never done before. So when I was talking with Kyle, you know, through direct messages, I just told him basically my idea about how I wanted to go to this event and have some interviews. And he really supported it, and I was really grateful for that. Because I didn't really know, like, you know, obviously having these podcast episodes, having guests on a podcast, that's one thing, but there's a lot more pressure, I find, when you actually are sitting in front of, or standing in front of somebody, especially after they have just fought their life, fought their heart out in a boxing match, and to try to get a few minutes and to have a conversation with them. But out of the three times that I asked somebody to do an interview, they all agreed. I was really grateful for that. It was really interesting, the process, because basically I didn't have a table or seat at the time. So luckily there was this really nice real estate company that allowed me to sit at their table. I had a really fun time talking with them. I was trying to pay attention to the fights as much as possible. I recorded some video, although it's not the best, of some of the fight, some of the parts of the fights. And I was trying to really pay attention to the fights, because I felt to myself, like, I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look dumb, you know, forgetting, you know, which rounds or what or whatnot that the fighters were doing well or not doing so well. And I tried to pay attention also to, you know, the boxing itself and the quality of the boxing, and trying to find things to bring up in the interviews. And it was a thrilling time. Honestly, my heart was racing, because, you know, I was trying to find, you know, you get the red corner and the blue corner. I was trying to find which locker room or which changing room the fighter was going to be going in, what direction, and trying to catch them before they leave the arena and go back into the locker room to ask them for an interview. So that was really interesting, and you had to be kind of on your toes. And I just want to say that somebody that I really looked up to and have followed for quite some time is Lydia Daydal, and she is part of Fight Connect TV, as well as the Empire Fight Store. I believe she does some of the management there, or some of the social media there. And I had watched quite a few of her coverage of the UK boxing scene, and kind of seeing how she went about things. And I tried to the best of my ability emulate what she was doing, as far as, you know, being a one person operation, bringing your own you know, tripod or whatnot, and just going about capturing the interview. So of course, like I said at the beginning of the episode, the interviews themselves, the audio is not really the best quality, and I plan on working on that and getting a better microphone when I do this again, because I realize now, like, yeah, it was a cool idea to bring your iPhone and everything like that, and it certainly serves a purpose if you don't have anything there, but it probably was a hard listen for some of you guys. And if you were listening to this and not watching the video and not seeing the subtitles, I strongly recommend possibly rewatching this episode on YouTube or on Spotify and looking at the subtitles and seeing what was being said. Because it is hard. I had to listen to the episodes a few times, trying to make out what was being said for the subtitles, and I tried to use some restoration on the audio. It didn't really work that well, and yeah, it was overall, guys, it was a really fun experience. So I kind of flirted with the idea at the beginning about kind of talking about what's been going on. It's been a little while since I last put out an episode, so I wanted to tell you guys, next month I will be going back to school. I will be taking the radio television journalism program at NACC, and I'm really excited about that. It's going to be a fun time. I'm nervous. I just turned 25 in July. I'm a quarter century. This will be the third time I've gone to school, and I think I've touched on this in other episodes, but I certainly want to bring this up again. It all comes back to this realization I had maybe 17, 18 years old, about the idea, like, you know, when you get out of high school, the first thing a lot of people do is they go to, you know, university or college right out the gate. And for some people that works, and for some people they know what they want to do. In my case, I was kind of, in my opinion, following the crowd a little bit. You know, there's some people from my high school that were going to a particular school, and so I decided to go there. But then my experience was when I went to the school, I found out that, there's no guarantee that these people are going to spend the next 4 years with me. And in fact, I barely saw them at all. I made new friends. But I was going through a lot and dealing with stuff. I didn't know about my anxiety or how to deal with that. So that didn't work out. And then not too long ago, I had my second attempt going through doing IT. But I really hated doing online-only schooling. I found it really hard to get attached to understand the material. And I realized that I'm more of a people person than a computer person, despite having the abilities that I have. And I do feel like I do know quite a bit about computers, but when it comes to people, I really enjoy dealing with people more. And I've been doing this podcast since December. I saw my Instagram page was started August of last year. So, you know, the whole idea about the podcast has been running around for about a year now. So I've been seeing that I really enjoy doing this podcast, and I want to make it better as much as I can, and I always try to make it as best as I can. So what I thought was, naturally, I should go to school for this, because I might not be able to do this podcast full-time as a job, at least not right now, but certainly I can learn some things and work for people in this realm and possibly still cover the sport of boxing, mixed martial arts, or wherever I do land, and really boost the quality of this, because in the end of the day, that's what I want to do. I want to make something of this podcast and this community, and I always really appreciate everybody who's given me the positive support. You know, you guys have really gave me a lot of self-confidence in a time that I really didn't. So everybody, guys, when you guys send me messages, when you like things, when I know we live in a day and an age right now where a lot of people's value seems to be related to these types of statistics, like, you know, if somebody likes, comments, or shares something. But when I see people that I know liking stuff and messaging me about the stuff and saying, hey, you know, this is awesome, it really does help, guys, and that's what really motivates me to continue doing what I do. So guys, you guys are amazing. You know, I'm really excited for what the future is going to hold. I'm going to continue with this podcast. I will say it's going to be a little bit in the air, in the respect that right now I'm working, work quite a bit. And then of course school is going to be starting up, but I'm going to try to still keep the same schedule of, every Sunday at 5 PM. So yeah, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know it wasn't the longest episode, but I had all this, you know, footage, these interviews, this experience that I want to share with you guys. So I thought, why not just make it its own episode? And then the next one we can, of course, follow on by having more guests and focusing on what this podcast is all about, which is fighters and their stories. As always, guys, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, I strongly recommend that you subscribe to either the YouTube channel or the podcast on your preferred platform. And that way, when a new episode comes out, you won't miss it. Instagram is always the social media platform that I use the most when announcing things for this podcast. Strongly recommend also following me on there. When you do watch this podcast, also, if you could leave a like, a comment, a share, those things really help. And yeah, until next time, guys, whatever time you're listening to it, I hope you have a good rest of your day and take care. Bye.